Brother Joseph, among your prophetic analysis of the world events, can you tell us how is the preparation of the Christians in the world? How are they doing? Like, we all know that we live in the end time, and can we just trust in the Lord that no matter what happens in the future in the world, God will take care of us. God will take care of his children, of his bride. And I know that we all make mistakes and we are not perfect, but still, can we just trust in his grace? Can you just tell us about these things?
Well, praise the Lord. First of all, God bless everyone. Here we are with a little message. Amen. This is quite a deep question. It's true. Would God take care of us? Will God take care of us? We know that the Christians are not perfect, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to fall in the ditch. I have fallen in the ditch many times myself. Well, will God take care of us in any case? That's a good question.
Like the Bible says that we need to forgive 70 times 7. So God will forgive us and really look after his children?
Even though you're saying doesn't matter what we do or we don't do it. That's your question, right?
Once we are his children, can we have the security that he will look after us?
Well, the answer is no. No, he will not if we don't obey. See, the whole Bible is an example that God protects his children only if they obey, but not if they disobey. See, it's a false doctrine that you can go to sleep in a religion using everyone using different doctrines as different pillars to go to sleep and say, it doesn't matter if I follow Jesus or not. It doesn't matter if I obey Jesus or not. It doesn't matter if I follow the commandments of Jesus or not. God is love. God forgives me. I'm under grace and good night. And can I start snoring, please? No, the answer is no. Now, we see this is a false doctrine, in fact, that you can just disobey the Lord all your life, do as little as possible for the Lord all your life, disobey willfully, and God is love. God is going to get, for sure, is going to find a place into Philadelphia for me and not Laodicea. Well, it's not like that. That's not, if you read the Revelation chapter 3, that is not the message.
But it does say God is love.
God is love, but it's like God cannot break his word. It's like Adam and Eve, they disobeyed and they substituted the true God with a new God, the Satan. And there are things that you know God is not going to forgive. You understand? It's like we see in Jeremiah chapter, let me check. Jeremiah is it? I think it's 3:8. We see, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Let me see if I got it right. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3:8. Correct. It says, in this scripture, Jeremiah 3:8, it says that God is giving Israel a certificate of divorce. God is divorcing Israel. Wait a minute, preacher. Are you crazy? God is against divorce. He's against divorce, yes. God is against death, is against suffering. Nevertheless, he's going to let people go to hell. You understand? He cannot play games and use God as a puppet. All right? You see, God has his word. He has to keep his word. And he will fulfill his word. So if the church today is obedient, then let's put it this way. The church today, even though there are thousands of different denominations with thousands of different doctrines, etc., thousands of different leaders, in reality, the Christianity in the world, you can divide safely into denominations. One is the Church of Christ, the obedient church, and the others are the Christians, disobedient. So in Revelation chapter 3, you can see that the Church of Laodicea, disobedient, that Jesus is going to vomit them out of his mouth. And then there is the Church of Philadelphia, church that symbolically represents the wise virgins, the bride of Christ. Understand the difference? So what I want to say is this, is like Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same blessing and punishment that God had in the Old Testament, they will be applied in the New Testament. It's not that because Jesus came and brought grace and salvation for free that hell disappears, punishment disappears. No, it's still the same. Only now we can have salvation for free through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, this was not available. We had to follow the commandments. Now, even if you break every commandment and you disobey everything and you go around persecuting and killing Christians like the Pharisee Saul, you can repent and become the Apostle Paul. But you have to change, though. You cannot go back and pretend you're a Christian like Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. You understand? So Jesus Christ is the same. So the same punishment that God gave Israel to purge them, to make them become the true bride of Christ that was going to come in the New Testament, the same strategy it's used also in the New Testament. We see in 1 Corinthians 5 how the unworthy Christians were thrown out of the church. Ananias and Sapphira, they were punished in Acts chapter 5. We see everywhere this in the Bible. We see in the book of Revelations how God has he has hell for the unbelievers, and he has heaven for the believers. He has a blessing of Philadelphia, and he has a spanking for the Laodiceans.
I don't know if you can compare so much the Old Testament strategies with the New Testament, where there is the grace of Jesus, is present, the forgiveness of Jesus, and the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like in most of the churches in the world, you hear this. God will protect us in the end time events that will come upon us. We are going to be protected.
Listen, let me read you a scripture. It's not like that. I know that many churches preach this, but these churches are wrong. God loves these churches, and I love these Christians, and God loves every church, but a lot of churches are just off the track. I'm sorry to say that. See, I don't believe in what any church preaches. You know, I believe the Bible. Okay, so it's like, what am we going to follow? What sect are we going to belong to? Myself, I consider myself just a Christian. I don't belong to this church or the mission or this sect. I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't belong to a church. I don't want to belong to a church. I was bought by the blood of Christ, not by the blood of a church. The churches are usually off the track. I've been off the track many times. I have to try to stay on the track every day. Every day I have to check my compass, because every day I'm going off the track, and every day I have to go back to the compass, and the compass indicates that usually I'm going the wrong way, and the compass is the Bible, is God's word, it's not a religion, it's not a church. How many churches today are full of false pastors and mercenaries who call themselves pastors? They're just there collecting money on Sunday morning. Most churches are like that. Which, open your eyes, I don't need to tell you. Well, let me give you a scripture. Revelations 18:4, look what it says. This is just it talks about Babylon, okay? And it's just an example how God operates, all right? So it says, I heard another voice saying, see, God is just about to destroy Babylon. Babylon is the greatest nation of the end time, which is America today, which represents Babylon, the center of materialism, which has been moving from in the century, from now in a religion, now in an empire, now in a republic, now in a nation, now in another nation. It's a spirit that moves around, okay? So Babylon is a spirit. Picture the Revelation 17 and 18 in a woman drinking blood, riding the dragon, which is Satan. Look what it says here. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, out of Babylon. It's a system, right? Materialistic system. Today it's called capitalism. Yesterday it was called the mammon, money, whatever. It's the spirit of greed, of money, material power. It says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. So if you don't come out of Babylon, you're going to share her sins. You can see this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 51, verse 45, and Jeremiah, look, if you look, go to Jeremiah 51, verse 6 and 45, okay, it's very, very interesting to confirm this teaching. Here, Jeremiah 51, verse 6, and it's a parable, it talks again Babylon. Of course, this is Babylon of old, but it can be applicable also to the Babylon of the end time, Babylon of Revelation. It's kind of a parallel. This is Babylon of the end time that destroyed Israel, and the other is Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18, which is the spirit of Babylon, the spirit of materialism. So it says in Jeremiah 51:6, flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity. So if you're in the wrong place, you'll be cut off with the iniquity of whatever. You understand? So if you happen to be in Nazi Hitler, in Nazi Germany, you get the bombs of the Americans on your head. They're not for you, they're for the Nazi. You get it in your head anyway.
I understand. And what about the scriptures which talk about protection, like Revelation 3:10?
Yes, just a second. I'll come to that in a second. So you said this is the time of vengeance. Let me finish this. Verse 45, my people, go out of the midst of her. So you cannot sit in the midst of Babylon, in the midst of Nazis, in the midst of communism. You're going to get in trouble, you know. And let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. So in other words, you have to deliver yourself from the anger of God. The anger of God is going to fall on you as much as on the Antichrist. You understand? So if you are in the wrong place, in the wrong time, in the wrong moment, you're going to suffer exactly like the unbeliever. If you're sitting in Sodom and the angels come and pull you out and say, I don't want to leave, well, you're going to suffer with Sodom. Even if you're the wife of Lot and keep looking back to Sodom, you're going to get the stick on your head. So let's not go to sleep on the fact that we are Christian. God, we're under grace. But can I tell you a scripture about grace? Grace is not what some Christian think. Grace is not some kind of a license. You can do whatever you want. Grace, it says in Galatians 5:4, it says, you have fallen from grace. So grace is something you can fall off. Okay. So it's true that we are under grace, all right, but grace works through faith. Ephesians 2:9. We are saved through grace by faith. So you were not saved only by grace, also by faith. It works both. Now, faith, James tells us, James in James chapter 2 says, show me your faith without works, and through my works I show you my faith. In other words, we cannot sit in a church and not work for Jesus, not operate for Jesus, not reaching the lost, not preaching the gospel, just sing songs to the walls, and that's what the Pharisees were doing. There is also a gospel, there is also commandments, there is also go to all the world and preach the gospel to the lost. So in Revelation 3:10 it says, beware that no man steals your crown.
Revelation 3:10 is, I will protect you in the hour of tribulation.
Oh, sorry, it's that was promise. Revelation 3:11, correct.
It's a promise of protection.
Yeah, yes, you're correct. So Revelation 3:10 it says, I will protect you in every affliction and tribulation or something. Really, I can't just read it to you. It's a very important scripture. And then 11 it says, don't let anybody steal your crown. So Revelation 3:10 says, because you kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trials which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. Yes, it's correct what you say, that God will protect us in the coming tribulation. But attention, some Christians, they think that God is going to protect us and that's it, like under grace, finished. But actually, these Christians are forgetting the condition. This promise is not like salvation by grace and faith and goodbye, you have to do nothing. This protection comes conditionally to our obedience. It says in verse 8, keep reading. See, the Bible, you have to read the whole context. So read the whole paragraph, please. If you read a couple of scriptures before, it says, I know your works. Okay? And because I know your works, which work is Jesus talking about? It's not by grace. It's not just by grace. It's also by works. Which works? Works in Christ. It says, I know your works. Which works? Verse 10, the works of keeping my word, of keeping my command to persevere. That's why I'm going to keep you. The same promise you see in the next church, Laodicea, is the opposite. I know your works, and because I don't like your works, guess what? I'm not going to protect you. In fact, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Do you understand the difference here?
Yeah, in other words, we are protected, but our protection is in keeping the word.
Our protection, like it says in John 14:23, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will come and make our abode. We will come. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So if a man loves me, he will keep my word. In other words, if we are Christians and we are sitting in the best church in the world, and we are sitting in the best church in the world, and we are singing songs, and we pull our hair, and we tear our clothes, and we fast two times a week, and we pay the tithe, and we give our body to be burned. 1 Corinthians 13. You give your body to be burned, you give your money to the poor, but if you have no love, it's good for nothing. The Pharisees were doing that. We Christians should be different than the Pharisees. It's not enough to love Jehovah or the Old Testament or Jesus or the New Testament. We must keep his word. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't do what I say. in Luke chapter 6. Do you understand? So
Amen.
we cannot go to sleep. We're under grace. We're under grace. We're under love. And God loves us and lets us go to sleep in our Sunday morning church bench while you play the violin and snore in the spirit. It's not like that. We have to go shed our blood like the martyrs. Even if we work in a job to support our family, great, but we should invest every day. It's only little time to go reach the lost. The people who are going to hell, like I and you, we're going to hell before somebody evangelized us, okay? Otherwise, when we show up in front of God, like it says in Matthew 7:21, say, no, everyone that comes unto me and calls me Lord, Lord, and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done wonderful works? I will say unto them, depart from me, I don't know you. Where is the grace of God? Where is the love of God? Is God not loving anymore? No, God is love, but he's not stupid. God is love, but he's not a puppet. If we disobey his word, we're going to suffer with the unbelievers, share their sins. All right, that's, you can see here the virgin without oil. The virgin comes, God, your love, open the door. We found the oil. We're a little late, I'm sorry, but please forgive us 70 times 7. Knock, knock, knock. Open the door. We found the oil. Look, pure olive oil. Open the door. We want to get married. A voice from inside will say, I don't know you. Get out of here. So it's not enough to be virgin. It's not enough to have a lamp with oil. We must also be known by Jesus, understand? Like John said to those Pharisees in Matthew chapter 3, 9 and 10, he said, don't come to me and say, you are the sons of Abraham. Like today, I am the sons of Abraham. I am a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, I'm an Orthodox. Pleased to meet you. I just have Jesus. Can I go to heaven and say, I'm the sons of Abraham. I went to a Catholic church. Or no. And then another will say, I went to an Orthodox church. Another will say, I went to a Protestant church. Pleased to meet you. Guess what? I don't know you. Where is your oil? Okay, he's not talking about religionism. He's not talking about sitting on a bench Sunday morning ism. He's talking about oil. Oil of obedience. The oil of the fruits. In the same Matthew chapter 7, it says, by the fruits you shall know them. So the Pharisee said to John, we are the sons of Abraham. And he said, don't come to me and see the sons of Abraham. Here, let me read it to you. Matthew 10, and then we'll close here. Matthew verse 10, the third chapter. Matthew verse 10 and 9. So don't say we have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So don't come to me as a Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, okay? You went to a theological school. You can split the theological hair under a microscope. God doesn't care. He wants to know your love and your fruits. All right? Verse 10. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. But now John the Baptist, the guy was too radical. Jesus was much more loving. Oh, yeah, thank God that Jesus is not like John the Baptist. Oh, isn't that nice? Wrong. Jesus was even more radical. Look, if you go with me to John 15, look what he says. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. All right. And verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit except abides in the vine. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Either abide in me, it will bear much fruit. Verse 6, tune in. This is even stronger than John the Baptist. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, obedience, then you shall ask what you desire shall be done unto you. Do you understand? Here is Laodicea and Philadelphia. Make our choice where we want to belong. The choice is not God's, it's ours. Deuteronomy 30:19. Choose you today. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. God is not mocked. He cannot make fun of God. Whatever you sow, you reap. Amen. God bless you.
Brother Joseph, I want to thank you for this wake-up call. It's a wake-up to obedience, because we so easily believe whatever sermon we hear on internet or in some church, and we like to find security believing God is love, God will protect us, but actually you're showing us from the Bible that we need to wake up and obey, and that's how we will be protected. I have a question about this obedience, like specifically, what do you mean through obedience? What are we expect it to do? What God, what does God want us to do practically?
Well, first of all, we need to get busy and not go to sleep on some religion. So practically, regardless if we belong to a good or bad church, all right, we need to be church. Because when we say we today you call church a building, but in reality that's not a church, that's just a building. The first 3 centuries of Christianity, first 3 centuries in the Christian world, there was no church building. Jesus never had a church building. He never said to build a church building. And it's actually, church buildings are actually unscriptural, believe it or not. Because in the Bible, it says the opposite. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In our, the only building God has is our heart, our soul. And concerning the temples made with hands, the Bible preaches against it. It says that God doesn't live in there. Like Acts 7:48, it says, God does not live in temples made with hands. In Matthew 24:1-3, Jesus said, look at this temple, it's going to be destroyed. All right, there was only one person in the world allowed to make a temple, to make a building, because God knew that people were going to worship buildings. And that was, God refused permission to David and gave it to Solomon. And that's it. And then after God destroyed it, first by the Babylonians, then by the Romans, God didn't command anymore to make temples. So today buildings are necessary because it's easy to build it, to control people, to collect money Sunday morning, etc. I go preach in many, many temples, many churches. Different religions invite me. I'm in interconfession. I go preach in many churches, but I always say, this is not the church. Church is you and me.
So we shouldn't gather with the believers?
Yes, but not not limiting in a building. Because you see, when the devil takes control of a building, controls the living church. It's easy for the devil to control a dead building. He puts some Aphra, some Ananias, Sapphira, some Christian Pharisee in charge of the building, and then the guy controls the living church, and through that guy, the devil control infiltrates, contaminates the true church. So there are many, many churches today are controlled by the devil through Jezebel, through Ananias of Fires, etc. So the true church is a congregation. You can meet in the Mount of Olives like Jesus, sleeping under the tree of the Mount of Olives like Jesus, meet in the house of Maria and Martha like Jesus. You can. It's like Jesus didn't have a building. He didn't want a building. Building was controlled by the Pharisee, the temple. All right? And today is like, I know it's comfortable, I understand. It's like, it's an easy way to make money. Like, this is the house of God, the Bethel. This is the door to heaven. People will go there thinking that they are more holy, but in reality, it's just a way to collect money. Money which goes for new buildings, which, you know, they never have enough money for buildings because they have to compete with the next church who has a better stairs, a better windows. And that's it. But in reality, the church is going to all the world and preach the gospel. Wherever there are two, Matthew 18, verse 20, wherever there are two believers, that's a church. We need to be church 7 days a week, okay? So the true church is a congregation. Today the building is a trick of the devil, okay? And that's it. So we need to be church, and we need to go preach the gospel everywhere. 7 days a week. So it doesn't matter if you belong to a good or bad church. It's okay. It's like you don't sin because you go to church on Sunday morning. But don't think that God is there better than anywhere else. If anything, that's sometimes that's the worst place for God to be good. Because just like hospital is the place where it's full of sicknesses. So the churches are the place where full of gossip, full of laziness, full of disobedience. Like the true church is like Jesus sent the disciples 2 by 2 to preach the gospel. You understand? So the best church is a couple of guys preaching the gospel. And then, okay, you can get together on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 people, 20 people. But no more than that. All right? Like the best church today are not in the West. The church in the West is a good sample, is good usually. Most of the church in the West is a very good example of this here. Like to find a good church today, you have to go to the third world, in China, in Africa, in places where the churches meets in the house. You see, the only church today that are growing are the churches who meet in the house. Okay, the churches which are growing today in the building is only because people change from a building and a church bench to another building, another church bench. But real converts, lost souls, are only through the church purchasing the house today, which costs no money, a group of people. When a church is bigger than you can eat together, like Jesus and his 12, then it's too big. So a church should not be bigger than 10, 15, 20. Big, you should be able, like it says in Acts chapter 2, you should be able to eat together. Yeah, let me read it to you. And this is one of the first most important steps. See, Acts chapter 2, this is a, some people don't even know the scriptures in the Bible. So let me read it because they wouldn't believe it. Some people are not going to believe it if I don't read it. Look, Acts 2, 44 and 45. Okay, this is a scripture that the preachers never preach, okay? Some preacher would like to tear off this page from the Bible. It says, all the believers together, verse 44, and had all things in common and sold the possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So the money was not put together in the pocket of the pastor to make a bigger building where he can have more power. But it was given to the people in the church who needed money for shoes, for clothes, for food, or to evangelize the lost. That's it. But today, through the cancer, I'm sorry, I have to call it cancer, through the cancer of church buildings, the devil is sucking, is stealing all the money from the evangelists, from the poor people in the church, from the brethren in the church who have no money, no wood for the winter, no food on the table. And they can starve, so the pastor can have a bigger building with better window, better benches, so he can make a better competition with the next church, okay? And then with the next, let me finish this. Verse 46, so they continuing daily in one accord in the temple, when there was a temple before it was destroyed, and breaking bread from house to house. You understand? They continued every day breaking bread from house to house. They were eating every day together from house to house. Today, you go to some church, you can starve. Okay, if you have no money, you can die. Go to the Antichrist, I guess, so he'll give you some food. Oh, don't forget the mark of the beast, please. So do you understand? So practical. What are the practical things I can give you? Make sure if you have a job, have a job.
But sorry, about these churches, you said we need to be like in China, like go to China and go to these places so we can be in God's will.
No, today the churches like China, Sudan, Vietnam, Cuba, they are growing by the 5, 10, and 15 people every week.
But you were saying we shouldn't put our faith or we shouldn't go to church buildings, but go to China because there they are doing the right way. Or what's the message?
No, I'm saying go to China to see the example. You don't have to go to China physically. You can stay wherever you are. You can stay in New York if you want, but just make a church in your house. Then that doesn't mean it's forbidden to go to church on Sunday morning. You can go Sunday morning to church and wake them up too. So you need to make a church in your house, wherever you are. Just evangelize your neighbors, the people you work with, in the school where you go, especially where it's forbidden. See, the devil is preaching his hell message to bring people to hell. Everywhere is forbidden. The devil does that. So why can't we preach Jesus where the devil forbids it? See, the devil is preaching his lies where God forbids it. But then the devil wants to forbid us to preach God's where he forbids it. So we should preach the gospel in our work, in our schools. And when we get fired for because we preach the gospel, we should say, praise God, great honor on me, glory on me. I got fired for preaching the gospel. Matthew 5, verse 10, it says, blessed are you when they persecute you. In Luke chapter 6, it says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If you're working at a job, but they don't persecute you for the gospel, then you are Laodicea. 2 Timothy 3:12, all that live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering persecution for Jesus from somebody at your job, from your unbelieving wife, unbelieving husband, unbelieving family, unbelieving friends, whatever your problem is, then you are Laodicea. Because the job of a Christian is to be persecuted like Christ. Read it, it's right in the Bible. John chapter 16, John 15 and 16, it said, they persecuted me, they persecute you. If they don't persecute you, it's because you're a false prophet, because you're Laodicea. So let's not go to sleep. Let's not choose a church where they'll preach a gospel, they'll tickle our ears and tell us how good we are. We are the great, we're not perfect, but we are the best church, I tell you. You could be the best Laodicea, but if you don't have fruits, that's not good enough. Also, another problem is, see, there is this false mentality, which is not biblical, that you have to have a theology diploma to be pastor of a church. That is not scriptural. It doesn't, this is what makes results if I laugh. Brother, if you have a diploma, please use it for Jesus. But diploma doesn't make you a pastor of a church. Diploma, you can shine your shoes if you don't have the love of Jesus, if you don't save souls, if you don't give the salvation of Jesus to lost souls, your diploma is just you can just throw it away like a dirty rags. The Pharisees are diploma. The ones with diplomas were all the Pharisees, the true Christians, the disciples. Why did Jesus make the mistake of choosing 12 disciples without diploma? I think he's trying to give a message. Why Jesus never built or said to build a dead building? There is a message here. Okay, the ones with diploma and religious building were strictly only the Pharisees. Jesus would go to the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He would go to the house of the Pharisees, to the house of the publicans. He never had a regular meeting. He would go to synagogue and preach, and usually he would get cast out. So if you're not getting cast out for somebody's dead religious building, so-called Christian building, there's something wrong with you. I mean, I go preach in many, many Christian buildings. The first thing I say, this is not the house of God, it's you and me. And they go, oh, tough message. So then the pastor looks at me weird, but that's the truth. He cannot say nothing. I even read scripture. Look, God does not leave you, Acts 7:48. So what I'm trying to say, the true leader of the church is not the guy that went and got brainwashed for 3 years to become, for three or two, 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 3, 4 years to become a great Jehovah's Witness, a great Mormon, a great Catholic, a great Protestant. He's the one who loves Jesus, the one who goes witnessing. He's the one that goes in the streets like Jesus, who stops the people in the streets like Jesus, who goes door to door and evangelizes. Don't worry if the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it. They have their own message. We can do it with the right message. Jesus was going everywhere. So we need to follow Jesus. A guy said to me one time, I forgot he was a Catholic Protestant, doesn't matter. He said, oh, I don't go door to door evangelize. That's the Jehovah's Witness. Hey, so what? So, excuse me, if the devil uses mathematics, doesn't mean I'm not going to use mathematics anymore because the devil does. That's ridiculous. Of course we should go door to door and street to street and school to school and shop to shop and bar to bar. I mean, I enjoy evangelizing bars where there are drunk people. I enjoy stopping prostitutes. I love to stop drug addicts, satanists. Why? Those are the ones who need the gospel. So what the devil is saying today? You must preach the gospel only from church to church, to the people already believe, and there's the same sermons to the same people for 5, 10, 50, 15, and 50 years. Until they sleep on the church bench. That's the devil's strategy. Jesus never preached the gospel two, three times to the same people. Even the 12 have had a hard time. Luke 14:26, he saw the multitude, he said, there are too many people following us. We need to trim them down. So he turned around and he said, Luke 14:26, he that comes after me doesn't hate father, mother, wife, children, his own self, he cannot be my disciple. My goodness, what kind of gospel is this? Yes, you're supposed to hate father, mother, wife, husband, if they are against the Lord. So you understand? So diplomas, if you have a diploma, fine, use it. But that doesn't make you the pastor of the church just because you have a piece of paper hanging on the wall. What makes your pastor is your love. Amen. So, that's enough. Do you have any more questions?
Amen.
Enough stumbling stones.
Well,
here, do you want more?
It was quite a radical message.
But that's okay, because we're living in Laodicea age now. Do you know that the false churches of today, which are mostly false doctrinally, okay, there are true Christians everywhere, okay? Okay, don't write to me in email and say you think you're the only Christian. I don't think at all. I think I'm just one of the least Christians. I'm just one of the worst Christians. I love Jesus. It's like today we're in Laodicea age, entering the end time, the Antichrist is coming. God is going to use the Antichrist to purge the church, just like he used the book of Ezra, just like he used the Romans to purge the church. The Antichrist is coming to purge the church. If you read in Ezekiel 38, 39, God will be forced to invade Israel and punish Israel. Read Ezekiel 38, 39. Anything else, my dear
No, God
MC?
Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. It was very good. God
bless
you, Brother Joseph.
Praise
for sure,
God.
We need to go back to the Bible and not just be content to go to a church and be fulfilled with that.
Go to a church and wake them up.
Amen.
If the church is one of the many asleep, most are asleep, one of the most of the church allowed this year, just wake up. Hey, we can be Philadelphia. How? Just either has two houses, give one to the brother that doesn't have a house. You know?
About this point that you brought up, to have a church in your own house and evangelization, and Acts 2:44 you read to share with your brethren, I have lots of other questions how to practically do these things. But I also want to encourage our friends who are listening to write in or to listen to our radio. Our website is radiowithjesus.com, because there we have a lot of Bible studies on practically how to have a church in your house, how to evangelize, teaching us. Like Brother Joseph, for many years, has been a missionary and he's been training others to be missionaries. He knows lots of practical ways to reach the souls, even on the streets, in the parks, in schools. Write in or listen to our radio. There are a lot of good teachings on these topics.
Yeah, you don't need diplomas to do this. I started 38 years ago without diploma. I just love Jesus. I start memorizing scripture. I start preaching to everybody in the streets, everywhere. I start to getting people saved one by one. I knew nothing. I knew zero. Now I know a couple of millimeters above zero. So you learn as you go, just like when you learn to go on the bicycle. You don't go 3 years in school to get a diploma to ride a bicycle. You get a bicycle and learn by falling down.
Amen.
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 So on our radio with Jesus is a video radio. Remember, we have a lot of links to very important videos about the end time.
That's right.
So tune in and God bless you. We love Amen. You. Praise God. And keep busy witnessing. Keep busy loving Jesus and witnessing. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise God.